Hello, welcome to the Lean of Plants podcast. My name is Chelsea, and if you are struggling to lose weight on a plant-based diet, then this podcast is for you. While there are thousands of books, podcasts, and resources about the benefits of a plant-based diet, the reality is that being vegan does not guarantee losing weight. If you are feeling frustrated and confused about where to start, or you know exactly what you should be doing, but you just can't seem to rustle up enough willpower to do it, then keep listening. In this podcast, you'll learn the truth about plant-based weight loss, but just as importantly, how to use proven methods of behavioral change to turn what you know into lifelong habits that lead to getting and staying lean. Can't wait to get started. Let's do this. Hello, hello, welcome to the podcast. We are going to talk about going all in and creating a mindset of, there's two things. First of all, being able to take risks, being able to try something different, being able to try a different approach, not being scared of things like weight gain or when we're not seeing results or reaching out for help, all of those things, getting outside of our comfort zone, bringing potatoes with us, all of those kind of things. Right, taking some kind of action that is going to help us to move forward. Because in that situation, worst case scenario is nothing changes. You don't lose any weight. Maybe you gain weight if you're already gaining. You get ridiculed, you get laughed at, you feel unconfident. All those things are most likely already happening. So we want to make it easier to take action that is going to potentially lead to some kind of upside, because there's literally no risk in doing that. That's the first thing. The second thing is staying consistent and continuing to do the work and the actions that are required for long-term results, even when we don't see the fruits of our labors in the moment. Because there are going to be so many times where we're going to want to give up. And these are two very similar things on the same spectrum. One of them is you haven't started yet and you're scared to take that first step. The second one is just that you feel demoralized, or you can't be, you don't have the motivation or the willpower or the toolkit to continue to take steps because it feels too difficult, too far away, all of those different kind of things. So it's all about taking action and making the barrier to taking action so much less so that we consistently do it. Because here's the cool part about it. If we do take consistent action, we will get some kind of result. Even if it's not the one that we expect, we will move further. We will get further than if we were to do nothing. The only guaranteed negative outcome that we have, if we're currently not seeing the progress we want to, the only guarantee that you continue to see that is if you continue to stay the same. Like, that is a given. So we want to change that ASAP, right? You with me? Let's do it. And I want to give a shout out to Kelly, who is one of our amazing Lean of Plants clients. And she inspired this episode because we were chatting the other day on a call, and she is crushing it. Kelly, you're amazing. I love your name, by the way. And she's eating a veg, she's staying consistent, she's doing all the things, and she just hasn't seen her weight trend down yet. It's going to happen because she's doing all the things, but she hadn't seen it in those initial couple of weeks, which typically is frustrating, understandably. But something she said really stood out to me so much, and she's like, well, you know what? I feel better. I have more energy. My blood pressure's gone down. My cholesterol points are better. I am doing better in the gym. Like, all of these things. Like, I feel in control for the first time. I feel really flipping good. So even if the scale doesn't go down, like, what else am I going to do? Like, what's the alternative? I literally have nothing to lose. And that it hit me so hard, because I was like, man, imagine if more people had that kind of attitude. Because she is going to see results, because you cannot, it is physically impossible to continue to do all the things that lead to results and then somehow just not see them. Because the worst case scenario, and I said this to her, I was like, I love your attitude so much. Worst case scenario, we know what to tweak, because you're consistently measuring and tracking and knowing what you're doing, not with counting calories. We have some other ways that we do things in our program, because calorie counting, macro counting, measuring and weighing every ounce of food is not where it's at. It's definitely not an action that is easy to complete. And we want to make it easy so that people actually do it. But we have enough data so that we know, okay, if you consistently do something and it's not getting the desired result, the worst outcome of that is that you know, hey, I need to change something. I need to change my approach. So there's no downside to continuing doing that. And I was blown away by this, and I think that there's so many parallels and so many instances of our lives where we're so focused on the result and it stops us from being consistent or starting. And so I've written down about four or five things that I wanted to go over in terms of concepts. And the first one is recognizing that we really don't have anything to lose. And I think we have this perception that we do, but in reality, most of the things that we will lose from taking action are things that we don't want in our lives anyway. And when I think about, well, what do I have to lose? It's things like, if I'm going to take consistent action, it's things like not being able to eat treats every night, maybe not being able to have dessert, having to say no when I'm at parties or give up alcohol or whatever it is. All of these things, actually making an effort when you go to have dinner with someone, preloading, all of these kind of things. And we think that we've got that to lose. But in reality, those kind of things, for most of us, they're not things that we really want in our lives anyway. We don't really want to have the pressure from friends and family to have to eat or act a certain way. I think most people would love to be free of that pressure. They'd love to be able to confidently look a family member in the eye and say, you know what, I'm going to do what I'm going to do. And your opinion, while valid, is not going to be what influences my decision making for my life. You don't have to say that, but imagine if you had that confidence. Wouldn't that be a huge gain to your life? If you were in an environment where you were given the option to eat chocolate and chips and all these things, and you had the ability to confidently and calmly say no, to stop when you were full, to have a night where you didn't need to have a dessert or you didn't need to go through the takeout, and you didn't have to spend all that money on treats and takeout every week, would that not be a huge gain to our lives if we didn't have to feel that way? I had this conversation with someone in the DMs the other day. That's just how the kids are saying, talking on Instagram, direct messages. You knew what I meant, hopefully. Anyway, I was talking to someone and I was asking them, like, what do you want? Do you want to, because they were saying, well, there's all these things that I have to give up and I don't want my life to be focused around food or focused around like healthy food and I want to have some treats and all these things. I was like, yeah, that's awesome. She was basically saying like she didn't want the cost of having to give these things up. And I was like, yeah, like that's totally fair. But she also wanted to lose weight. And so I just asked her, well, if you could enjoy your life, if you did love the food that you were eating, but you weren't controlled by it and you had the body that you wanted, would that be acceptable to you? She was like, yeah. And so a lot of the time when we actually boil down and we keep going over these objections that our minds come up with, and we keep boiling down what our why is, most of the time we have a net benefit, even if we think that it's going to cost something. The reason for this is that as we become different people, as we take actions that align with who we want to be, how easy those things are, or how rewarding and fulfilling those things are, does increase dramatically. And it becomes just part of our lifestyle. It's like someone who goes to the gym consistently 3, 4, 5 times a week. At some point, that's just part of who they are. At some point, that's actually something they most likely enjoy. And they feel a sense of loss and a sense of lack if they're not going into those things. I heard this really cool thing on a podcast that I was actually listening to today. And they were talking about this kind of perceived cost in terms of taking action. And this was specifically to do with like investment and running a business. And they were talking about most of the time, I thought this was really fascinating. Most of the time, when we think that we've got something to lose, we've got these voices in our heads, and that it's normally one or two very specific things that are telling us, well, it's going to cost us too much when we do that. And so, for an example, if you are thinking, this is something I hear a lot, I don't want to tell people in my family that I'm on another diet because they've seen me fail so many times. And then everyone's going to know that I'm a failure. If we really boil that down and we peel back the layers of the onion, not everyone's going to know that you're a failure. First of all, let's get some truth and some light into that. Because I said this other thing that I thought was really interesting, and it was that shame cannot exist in the dark. Shame cannot exist with light on it. So let's expose some of these things. Name and shame the things that are actually holding us back. And so if it's really just a one or two people in this instance, if it's someone in your family, maybe it's your mother-in-law, maybe it's a spouse, like a spouse is a really common one, maybe it's teenagers, and you are not doing something, you are not taking some kind of action, you are not making waves, you are not holding space for yourself, taking up some kind of space, being an inconvenience because of some perceived idea that a few, maybe two, three, four people are going to see you as a failure. But when we really think about that with the analogy or the example, if you have done thousands and thousands of diets and you've always failed and you don't want this time to be different, what do you have to lose by telling them that you're on another diet? They already think you're going to fail. What does it matter if they think you're going to fail again? They already think that. Like, does it really matter? And this is the thing that's really important to understand, is that every time that we say, we let those voices control our actions and hold us back from taking action, because that's what really happens. It's not that it's a big deal whether your mother-in-law or your auntie or whoever thinks you're a failure or not. Like, that's, who cares? Like, that's a small thing. We deal with it. But if it stops you actually bringing the food that you want to Thanksgiving, if it stops you from saying no and putting boundaries with your spouse or with your teenage children, then you are letting the perceived barrier and one person's opinion or a couple of people's or some kind of perceived loss, you are letting that control your actions. And the cost of that is that you go the next 20, 30, 40 years staying the same because you didn't. And when you think about it in terms of that, when you really put that spectrum and you go, where's the real cost here? A few people think I'm a failure for the year that it takes me to actually prove them wrong. Not that it matters whether you prove them wrong or not. So what? I mean, they're not thinking about you anyway. For the most part, people are thinking about themselves. Maybe your spouse is different. And then you spend the rest of your life blaming them or feeling resentful that you never went and pursued your dreams because you couldn't, because you were scared of the reaction. Like, seriously, like, what do you have to lose in doing that? Nothing. You have everything to gain. And I think about this a lot when I'm creating content and I'm wondering if a podcast is going to flop or if a YouTube video is going to have views or anything like that. And a lot of the time I just come back to, like, what do I have to lose? What do I have to lose by putting a video out there? Less people see it. Maybe it flops. So what? I put out a video. I practiced something. I did the mahi. I took action. I consistently did some kind of routine. There is no downside to me doing that. There is only upside. Because, like, and this is, it's so meta when I think about this, because I have so many blocks in my mind about content creation where I will just not put out a video. And but when you think about it, it's like if you're going to sit down with me and you're going to say, Charles, the most mediocre podcast that you could do, I'd be more happy with that than you skipping weeks, right? Like, if you're a listener to this podcast, because what's the worst that could happen? You skip it. You're like, oh, Charles is not on today. I'm going to turn it down. You're going to just skip to the next one. Like, there's no downside. The downside is when I don't actually do it. And really, people fail because they don't take action. That is the reason that we fail, is that we don't take action and we don't take it consistently. So recognizing that we really don't have anything to lose, when you look at that on a spectrum and we have everything to gain from consistent action, then it allows us to remove the barrier to action. It makes action feel more doable. And this can be, I use this in so many examples in my life. I use this a lot when I think about trying to stay positive or choosing optimism and gratefulness in my life. I've talked about this before. You're probably getting sick of me saying it, but it's a big thing in my life. And that's the fact that my husband, Nick, amazing person, beautiful human, has multiple sclerosis. I've watched him and that condition deteriorate over the past 9 years that we've been married. And it's flipping hard. Every day is hard. Seeing those symptoms progress, seeing the effects on that, seeing how he has to battle just to get through the day. That is so difficult, to not focus on the future and all of the loss that is potentially associated with this and all the loss that we have already. And there's so many times where I'm like, you know, I just want to lie in bed and I want to crumble and I don't want to do anything today. And I don't want to try so hard, because we're both of us. It's like we really have to try so hard to keep it together for our kids and just to function. But then I'm like, well, what's the alternative? Like, what's the alternative to this? I lie in my bed and I cry and I eat cake and cookies and I say that I don't care and I don't try anymore. And then what? How's that help me? How in the heck does that help me? That does nothing but hinder me. So in a lot of ways, it's like, as hard as it is to keep going, I have nothing to lose by trying. And it's the same with us taking consistent action, because we benefit way before we start to see results. You benefit every single time that you say that you're going to do something and you follow through on that commitment. You benefit every time you eat a broccoli instead of a chocolate bar. You benefit every time you take up space and ask for what you want at a restaurant, because you're becoming the kind of person who can do that. You are changing from the inside out every step you take in the right direction, in a direction of where you want to be and who you want to be, even if you don't have the result yet. And this is the reason that people, like our clients, our people in other programs, whether this is weight loss, business, fitness, in any kind of industry, you will start to feel the positive effects of taking positive action far before you see those amazing results. And it lifts us so fast, because we know that we're on the right track. And then right there and then is where we often get derailed. And I talk to so many women who are, they're doing the things. Not Callie. Callie, you're crushing it. But I do talk to other people and they're doing the things and they're not seeing the actions straight away, and they're getting very demoralized by that very fast. And that's where it's so important that we shift our focus from being results driven to being process driven. Instead of being outcome driven, we get obsessed with what are the daily actions, what are the things that we are going to do, what are the habits. Love that word. It's like music to my ears. It's like, whew. It's just, I love it. Geek out over habits. Froth over habits. What are those things that we can do? And then we let go of the results. Because the more that we let go of the results and the outcomes, and the more we focus on the process of getting there, which is crazy, I know, it's kind of weird, the more likely we are to actually get there. And the more likely we are to be consistent, because we're measuring and focusing on things that we can actually feel proud of even when we don't see the results on a day-to-day basis. This is a big reason why we track in our program a lot of different metrics for success, not just the weight on the scales. And the biggest thing we're looking for is, what are the leading measures of someone actually losing weight? Because when you think about it, there's this kind of wild idea that if someone was to consistently eat vegetables, choose the next best thing, not go all in, all out all the time, eat low calorie dense foods, maybe do some steps, take pictures of their meals, have some accountability, you know, if they were to do that long enough, they might actually see some amazing results. It's kind of crazy, but it actually works. Of course, there's a lot of sarcasm in that, but you can see what I'm saying here. It's like, there are leading measures of success. It's the same thing with investing or saving or building a business or growing strong, resilient kids. If you were to tell your kid every single day, I love you, if you were to spend time with them and you were to read to them and you were to help them with the alphabet and you were to help them with maths and you were to do all the good parent things? Is it reasonable to assume that at some point they're going to be able to read? I think that's pretty reasonable. Is it reasonable that at some point a baby is going to go from goo goo gaga to mama, dada, and then being able to hold full sentences? The thing is, we didn't get obsessed with the outcomes. We didn't get obsessed with a two-year-old having to recite the alphabet. Well, my parents didn't. I definitely didn't. Because we're more focused on the process, and because we trust that the outcome happens when the process is done right. When the process doesn't even have to be done perfectly, it just has to be done consistently. And literally everything falls into this as well. There's actually an old Chinese proverb. I'm going to butcher it. And I know it's from a book that I've read. I think it was either from Outliers or Blink. I think it's from Outliers. I can't remember exactly. But it goes something like, no one can fail, or no one who tends the rice field from dawn till dusk can fail to grow rich. Which is basically saying, if you do the actions every day and you do them consistently, you will get the results pay off. And this makes a lot of logical sense. You can apply it to anything. You think about someone who is going to the gym. If you just said, you know what, I'm just going to go consistently to the gym 3 days a week. I'm going to push myself when I'm there. I'm going to focus on my upper body and my lower body. And I'm going to split that into 3 workouts each. Like, that's it. Like, I'm going to do Bulgarian splits, maybe some squats for my legs, maybe some hip thrusts. I'm just going to do those 3. And I'm going to do some other stuff for my upper body. And I'm just going to do this consistently for 3 years, 4 years. Maybe I'll do it for 5 years. And I'm going to go to the gym 3 times a week for 5 years, and I'm going to do that. Do you think that in 5 years' time of doing those actions, that you would be stronger than you are now? Duh. Yes. Even if you didn't have a goal. Even if you didn't care about the results. You could not do that every day and not have some kind of phenomenal strength transformation. It would be physically impossible. But if you do it the other way round, if you were to go, you know what, I want to be able to squat 160 pounds. I want to be able to do 10 pull-ups. I want to be able to do, what do people want to do? I want to have six-pack abs. That's a good one. I want to lose 50 pounds. If you just focus on that, rather than the process, you may or may not get there. But you're only going to get there if you're process-driven anyway. And you're definitely only going to stay there if you're process-driven and you build those habits that support that. The amazing thing about being process-driven rather than results-driven is that you can track different metrics. So I'll come back to that. You can measure progress in a different way. The biggest benefit of this is that it's just motivating. We're not just looking at, did the scales move? We're not just looking at, hey, did I get stronger? Or am I able to lift X? We're going, hey, like, did I feel slightly better? Did I get to the gym a bit easier? Was I more consistent? Did I go at an earlier time? The more that you track your success metrics, the more that you look at the data without judgment, the more that you can look for ways that you're improving. And again, we're coming back to this whole idea of making it easy to actually take steps in the right direction, whether that's the first one or the second one or the 100th. And progress is the most motivating thing that we can experience. Like, there is science to support this. If we see ourselves making progress and we have other people acknowledge it, that's just the icing on the cake. But how are we going to feel that boost of motivation to keep going if we aren't measuring progress in the behavior, in the habits and the actions and the process, and we're only looking at the results, which is always a far off latent measure? Because it takes time, it takes patience, it takes a lot of repetitions in order to get to some amazing stellar result. It's that whole thing of Rome is not built in a day. You do not lose 30 pounds in 30 days. Realistically, that takes people 9 months to a year for most people. The more important measure for me is, are you building the habits that are going to then support that for the rest of your life? You can lose it faster. You definitely can. Is that going to be relevant in 20 years? That's the real question. I heard this other quote. again, I can't remember where it's from, but it was people massively overestimate what they can achieve in a short period of time and massively underestimate what they can do with more time, what they can do over a significant amount of time. If you stretch out your timeline, and I think that it requires us to practice patience. I don't think you have to have patience. I don't. But when you're process-driven, you're looking at, you become patient because you can't help but not. And you're able to look for little things. Overnight success comes after years and years of effort and perceived failure. And I think that this is so encouraging and inspiring, where if we just get our reps in, if we just do it, and it doesn't have to be big, it doesn't have to be grand, and we just take little steps and we realize we've got nothing to lose because our life can only benefit from actually doing it. Like, even if we don't see the results, if I go to the gym 3 times a week, which is my goal right now, it's what I'm doing, and I'm consistently doing it, which is awesome. I have some things in place that are making me do that, which I'll talk about in a second. But if I'm doing that, I feel so much better about my life. I feel so flippin' good when I'm not feeling like I'm a slave to food and a slave to my impulses. I feel so much better the moment that I start running and I start pushing myself in that way. I went for a run today, and just getting out there and pushing myself motivated me to do more. When I get to the skate park and I try things, I don't have to be amazing, but just getting out there and doing it allows me to get better. And I have to remind myself this as well. There's this really, really awesome story in Atomic Habits. It's either Atomic Habits or Essentialism. Essentialism, my two favorite books on behavior change. Atomic Habits is James Clear. Essentialism is Greg McKeown. Fantastic books. It's a story about someone who is a Spanish teacher. And they have this great tool where they tell their students, I want you to think about language like you have this huge bag of marbles, and every time that you stumble over a word and you try speaking in Spanish, you get to take out a marble. You've got 1,000 marbles in your bag, and by the time that you empty these, you will be fluent in Spanish. And so rather than having this goal of being amazing in Spanish, which means that you don't open your mouth and you don't say anything because you don't want to look like an idiot, every time that you do that, you're able to put in some repetition, and you're able to remove the barrier to action, and you're able to measure progress differently, seeing how this analogy or this story is hitting all of these little things. It's removing that barrier. It's taking the shame away. It's going, I'm going to be okay with failure. I'm going to be okay with trying things when I'm not very good at them. And I'm going to do it thousands and thousands of times, even when I'm not seeing the results. And when I do that, because if you were to stumble over and fail 1,000 times at speaking Spanish, is it reasonable to assume that at that point of failing 1,000 times, you'd probably be pretty good? Well, this guy would say so. And I would say that myself, because I've seen it, and I've seen it work. But if you were just measuring progress by, did I have an amazing conversation or not, then you could be very demotivated every time because you weren't. Changing that metric of success, or measuring more than just one metric, allows you to go, hey, I'm successful if I just get the words out. Doesn't matter if it's good or not. Because perfection is another thing that really, really holds us back. And perfection, by definition, is results-based. It's results-driven as opposed to process-driven. Because people who fail get amazing results. People who fail a lot actually do get better and better because they're trying things more often. Think about Thomas Edison. It's that whole story of him trying things thousands and thousands of times and then finally actually creating the light bulb. And those things weren't failures, they were just a part of the process. Well, they were failures, but they led to what he needed to actually do. If he had given up straight away, we would be. You know what I'm saying. So at the end of the day, all this comes down to trying to drive consistent action. So what processes do this? The first one is to create repetition and routine, because the more repetition and the more we can create processes that are systematized, the more that we will consistently do them. This comes into environment, but I wanted to break environment into something else. But the more that we do things at a similar time of day, with consistent types of food or vegetables or with consistent people, the more that there is consistency surrounding our actions and the more we set that up, the more that it becomes habit. So when we're thinking about the processes that we're trying to create or the outcomes that we're trying to create, we need to ask ourselves, well, what kind of processes could I do on a daily basis? What kind of things could I do on a consistent cadence that are going to lead to that kind of outcome rather than the outcome itself? So an example of this is going back to the gym. If you want to do pull-ups, then you'd have to ask yourself, okay, how can I create some kind of consistency or some kind of environment or something that I do on a regular basis that is most likely going to lead to that result? There's quite a few ways that you could do this, by the way. It doesn't have to be just one. It depends what your other goals are. I saw a video recently on Instagram where a woman put a pull-up bar in her door frame, and she basically made the barrier to entry very low, made the barrier to action super, super low, and set a consistent trigger. So every time that she went to the bathroom and she went through that door, she had to do one pull-up. And over the course of a couple of months, just by doing that consistently, because it was every single time, see how there's repetition there? It was a systematized way. It was a if this, then that. I always think about this in terms of software. And software and coding is just triggers. It's you click a button on your computer, and then a whole set of string of code goes, well, when this action happens, I'm going to produce this result. If you clicked on this podcast on your phone and you clicked on an app, there's a whole lot of code that goes, when this app is clicked, I will open it up. And if there was a podcast, Lean with Plants, that was playing last time, I will pull it up to that part in the podcast and I will be ready to start playing. If they click the play button, I will play. It's if this, then that. So the more that we do that, the more we're able to create systems for ourselves. So she did it by having a trigger, which was going to the bathroom. And over time, because she did that consistently enough, she actually was able to do like 6 pull-ups, which is awesome because she developed routine and systems. What I did when I wanted to do pull-ups was I also wanted to get strong in other areas. So I realized I want to go to the gym consistently. And so I had consistent days. I wanted to go 3 times a week. So this is where you got to think about, if I'm going to do something on a regular cadence, how can I make this more consistent? How can I create more systems? That's mostly likely going to be if you can do that at a consistent time, if you can do that on consistent days, if you can create routine about that so that when on a Monday morning you drop your kids off at school, then you go and you go to the gym and you work out. So that on a Sunday, when you're going to bed, you have a trigger, which is an alarm or something like that, that triggers you to put out your gym clothes. Or you just do that every night so that you get into the habit of doing that. We underestimate how powerful routines are to our lives, but routines are everything. This is my biggest gripe, honestly, with intermittent fasting, is or just eating with your, you can't see, I'm doing air quotes, hunger cues. Because we're so influenced by routine, we can't take hunger and just isolate it. Like, hunger is so subjective. There's so many things like boredom. You think about how hungry you are when you're bored. You're not. You just want to eat. I call it itchy mouth. That's my Singaporean friend Noel taught me that. So if you can eat a similar breakfast, for example, at a consistent time of day, or when you leave the house, you always grab a banana or you always grab food with you. If you consistently have potatoes in the fridge, because every single time that container of boiled potatoes runs out, you go and you cook more, or every time you go into the bathroom in the morning, you brush your teeth, right? The first thing that you do for a lot of us is brush our teeth and wash our faces, because we've created a routine around that. So ask yourself how you can make things more systematized and more routine-based. Another example of this is in a way that I don't think is done super well, was my husband did a 90-day challenge. It was all these things that you had to do, all of these things that were like non-negotiables on a daily basis. And that's fine. It was awesome. He hated it. But he did it. He completed the challenge. It was good for him. Anyway, it was his choice. And what I found, or what my kind of gripe was, being someone who's obsessed with habits, was there wasn't any teaching about how to make it consistently. There was things that you had to do, but it wasn't, there wasn't any systems in order to make that part of your routine. It wasn't like, hey, find a time where every single day you're going to be able to set aside half an hour to read the Bible and meditate. It was like, okay, just make sure you do this every day. It's like, okay, great. But if I don't schedule it in, if I don't have that as part of my routine, then when's it actually going to happen? When you think about all the things that you do consistently right now, you have routines around them. I've gone on about this way too long, but one more final little story is our kids have been home. They're not sick. They're just coughing like all the time to the point where it keeps them up at night, keeps us up at night. We have not sent them to school because I know their teachers would not appreciate that over the last couple of days, but they are absolutely fine. They're bouncing off the walls. It has been so incredibly hard for me to create any kind of routine or consistency and content. Normally, I'm really motivated. Normally, I say goodbye to the kids in the morning. Nick and I have this whole thing. He gets them breakfast. I make them lunch in their lunch boxes. He like cleans up from that, they brush their teeth, I do their hair, he takes them to school, I make my coffee. This is like 8:45 at this point. I make my coffee, I walk into my office by 9 a.m. and then I start work. And we do this like clockwork every single day that they go to school. And it's awesome. And when I haven't had that over the last couple of days, my productivity has gone down like so much. And it is now 8:40 p.m. and I'm doing this podcast because of how much I procrastinated it every day. And I know that with my normal routine, I get stuff done. So routine is really powerful. The second one is having accountability, because you have to have some kind of external motivator that when you don't want to do things, it just makes it painful enough that you do it anyway, that you're not relying on your own motivation. Someone else knows. This could be as simple as putting it out there on Facebook. Hey, I'm doing X challenge, or I'm sober now, or I'm vegan. Like, that's a huge one. I remember when I first went vegan and I moved to a new city and nobody knew me, and I was flatting with some people, and it was in Australia. And they had no idea of this. Like, I was eating McDonald's the week before. The first night I was there, they were having a flat meeting the day after. They were having a flat breakfast. And they were going to get McDonald's. And they're like, what do you want? What do you want for McDonald's? I was like, well, you know, I'm vegan. So can I just grab some fruit? Like, I'm easy. I'll just grab fruit or whatever. And they're like, okay. They had no idea. And I just set a precedent where I just gave myself so much accountability, because I'd said, I am this. I do X. And it would have looked really weird if I'd have told them, or if they'd have seen me eating McDonald's, or seeing me eating like meat or animal products, when I told everyone that I was vegan. So accountability is huge. Obviously, I'm convinced that having someone in your corner, really prioritizing accountability with a coach, with a mentor, putting some skin in the game, investing in that, learning from someone who is invested in your success, not just their own happiness. An accountability partner is not your spouse. Let's just put it out there. Your spouse is interested in your short-term happiness. They are interested in your relationship. They are not there to keep you accountable on a day-to-day basis. Please, everybody listening to this, stop placing that burden of accountability on your spouse. Like, it is going to do wonders for your relationships, your spouse, your partner, whoever it is, when you release them from that. It is not their fault. And it should not be their responsibility. Get someone else. Get someone who is invested in your success, and they don't really care whether you eat ice cream with them, because they're not eating ice cream with you. We have a lot of accountability in our program because we've seen it. It is the most important piece of this, because it truly removes that barrier to not taking action, and it puts a barrier between the actions that you're trying to avoid. Accountability is the reason that I've been going to the gym consistently. I talked about this a couple of episodes ago, but I ended up signing up for my own program. I reached out to a head coach and I was like, you know what, dude, I need accountability. And if there was a program like Lean with Plants, I wouldn't invest in it. So I was like, well, you know what? I'm just going to do our own program. I put some skin in the game. I'm investing the same as what our clients pay, because I believe in it. and it's working. I'm actually eating my veggies. I ate a pound of veggies today and I'm staying way more consistent and I'm getting stronger and I'm feeling so much better for it. So accountability is key. The third thing is to make actions feel easier. Make the barrier to entry so much lower. Part of this is mental. That's where we talked about really asking the question, what do I have to lose? Because when you look at that and you examine that, and you know what? It's just such and such who's going to be annoyed at me. It's just my mother-in-law that's going to think I'm weird. She already does. She already doesn't approve of me. So what? Make it, I'll just do it anyway. Instantly, that makes it easier. I think about this when I'm filming content in public, by the way, or when I'm trying something. I want to tell another story because I love stories. So the other day I was at the skate park and I used to have a real block with this, by the way, because most of the people there are male and a lot of them are young or they're like my age and they've been skating their whole lives and they're just phenomenal. And here's me fully kitted up. I've got a helmet, like this really dorky purple helmet. I've got shin guards, knee pads, wrist guards. I've got the works on me and I'm not very good. Like I get kitted up like I'm going to go and like do some like amazing tricks. I don't. But I was there the other day and there's this little kind of skating crew in my area. And there was a couple of people that I kind of invited. I want to get the skating crew in my town. And I invited some people and a few of them showed up and we're at the park and they didn't hop on their boards. And they didn't want to embarrass themselves. And I get it. I've been there. But when you really think about that, like what do they have to lose by embarrassing themselves? Some 10-year-old boys thinks that they're dumb. The 10-year-old boys aren't thinking about them. They're thinking about their own tricks, their own boards. Everyone is focusing on themselves. No one cares. No one cares that you're there making a fool of yourself. They really don't. In fact, they'll respect you when you try. But it doesn't matter if they didn't. But what do they lose? Like, that's the real thing. Like, what do they have to lose? Everything. By not doing it. They didn't practice. They didn't have fun. They didn't walk away feeling like they got better and they improved in some way. They didn't push themselves. They sat on the sidelines. And so when we choose not to do things, we sit on the sidelines and we lose everything. And all it takes is that conscious, in that instance, sometimes all it can take is just that little bit of self-talk where you go and you just lay it bare, let that shame out into the open and really ask yourself, what is holding you back? What are the voices in your head that are telling you that you can't do something because some few 10 and 12 year olds are going to think you're an egghead or an idiot? Big deal. Big flippin' deal. So now when I go, I try things because I'm like, what the heck do I have to lose? Who cares if they think that I'm stupid? Who cares if I fall flat on my face and look dumb? Who cares? Why does it matter? And so I do it. And so there's been a lot of instances where I really just have to tell myself. And I do this now when I go up to people and I introduce myself and I put myself out there and I try and network and I just try and show up in the way where I'm not letting this kind of these voices in my head dictate what I should and shouldn't do based on someone else's opinion of me, based on looking and feeling stupid. Because I'm like, what? I look and feel stupid a lot of the time anyway. Like, what do I have to lose? Like, I look stupider if I'm not doing it, right? Anyway, make action easier practically as well. It's all about creating those routines and not having to be perfect. I use a microwave. I use frozen vegetables. I use a plastic microwave steamer. I use nonstick pans and I use an air fryer. And there's people that comment on those things every single day because it's apparently not good enough. The funny thing to me is how often people will be lamenting my use of a microwave, which, by the way, there's no scientific evidence to say that that is negative in any way, shape or form. I will put some citations, unlike the people who comment on my posts. I'll put some citations in the description. But the amount of people that will say how bad it is while in the same sentence admitting or asking for help when they struggle with binging is kind of crazy. And I'm like, you know what, if you actually allowed yourself to use a microwave to cook your broccoli in a plastic container which was BPA free, maybe you wouldn't be going through the drive-thru as much because your barrier to actually doing something positive would be so much lower. And it's like, how many people have tried to do the no salt route or the fully raw route when they would have been so much better to just eat some sweet potato with some sweet chili, something that had a little bit of sugar, a little bit of salt in it, and actually eat it? It's like, even oil, you know, if you've listened to this podcast, oil is the absolute best thing that you can cut out of your diet if you want to get into a calorie deficit. If you are currently cooking with oil, you can save yourselves hundreds of calories a week simply by learning to cook without it. In saying that, if using a tiny bit of oil for a tiny short period of time, or however long it takes, means that you are eating broccoli as opposed to deep fried Twinkies, you'd be better to use that teaspoon of oil, like, hands down. So make action feel easy so that you actually do it. The fourth one is rewards, and rewards come through acknowledging progress. Rewards are all about what we talked about, which is celebrating the action steps, celebrating the process, even when you aren't at the result yet. I do this by post-it notes. This is something that works well for me. I do it by journaling. I'm not someone who has a strong journaling habit, but what I found most effective is that when I'm feeling down, when I'm feeling like I'm not making progress, like I want to give up, I will journal the things that I have moved forward. I will intentionally write those things down so that I can actually see and visualize that. I also try to acknowledge those things publicly to mostly to Nick, honestly, where I'll say, hey, Nick, like, this thing happened today, or this was one thing that we moved forward. Because I'm so not where I want to be in terms of, like, I see so much potential in Lean of Plants, in our team, in the business, in the content and everything. Like, there's so much that I want to do. But when I just focus on that and what I'm lacking instead of what I moved forward, like, hey, like, I got a YouTube video done today. I really didn't want to do that. I wanted to lay in bed. I was depressed as heck and I wanted to eat cookies. I did a YouTube video. It wasn't amazing, but I did it. I got a new coach, or I trained this person to do this, or, like, hey, this client had this amazing win. Acknowledging progress in some way and creating some kind of reward from that does not have to be big. It can be a high five. It can be something small. It could be whatever you want to be. And mostly, it's just acknowledging it. So measuring it in more than just results is really important. Lastly is having community. Having a community and normalizing the kind of behaviors that you want to cultivate, aka your environment, your social environment, is a big part of driving consistent action. Because if you're around people that are doing the things that you want to do, then you are much more likely to do those things. In the same way, if you're around people who are consistently acting in the way that you want to stop, if you are consistently going out with the same group of friends that drink and get drunk every Friday night, you're most likely going to do those things as well. You're going to find it very hard to exit those behaviors. If your new group of friends becomes people that get up early on a Saturday morning and do park run, how much more likely are you to do that? Like, it makes sense, right? So I want you to ask yourself, like, are you in a community currently where you feel motivated and pushed and inspired with the kind of behaviors that you want to cultivate? And if you're not, do everything in your power. You have nothing to lose by getting into that community. Even if you make a fool of yourself, even if you waste money, even if you're not accepted and it's not everything that you want it to be, blah, 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 all the things that you could be telling yourself. Get into it. Do something. Make a fool of yourself. Make a friend. Reach out to someone. It is super, super important. This is a big reason. I haven't talked about this all the time, lots, but I've kind of alluded to the fact that I really enjoy being in America. And I think a lot of it, for me personally, there's nothing political. I just have a lot of people there that I find inspiring. I have a lot of like our team and mentors and friends who are doing the kind of things that I want to. They're the kind of people that I want to become or become like. And so I find that super inspiring. So it's really, really important to get around that. Because it, like I said, that comes back to your environment. And we are mostly products of our environment. And you can see that all these things, repetition, routine, systems, accountability, making actions feel easier, rewards for acknowledging process, community, all these things are the environment, internal and external. So the more that we look at how we can systemize and how we can change our environment to be conducive to our success, the more successful that we will be. And you have nothing to lose by trying and going all in and doing this. Because what is the worst thing that could happen? You get so much better, you have so much growth, and you most likely get the result anyway. That is it for today. I hope that you have enjoyed this episode. And if you liked it, please give me a review on Apple Podcasts. It really helps this podcast get out there. Most likely you heard about this podcast through a friend, through someone sharing it on Instagram, through someone sending it to you. So I'd love for you to just take a moment and do the same. It's going to put out some good energy into the universe. You know that I don't really believe in that, but it does help someone to actually get the information that they need, and it helps the podcast to grow. I don't do any sponsorships. I don't run any ads because I want to keep this a beautiful and pure space that is focused on progress. So help a gal out, help a fellow vegan or someone who is wanting to build their habits person out and share. Appreciate it. And I'll see you next week for another episode. Bye.